Wonderful to worship the Lord Jesus together this morning, to sing his praise, hear his voice. Just like to pray before we look into his word. Thank you, Lord, for what you've been speaking to us already. We just pray, Lord, you would confirm your word, Lord, in our hearts today as we look into your written word and all that you've given to us to build us up and strengthen us and guide us and set our feet in the way of your steps. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. We can sing your praise, Lord, for endless days. Oh, what a blessing, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Yesterday, we had a men's breakfast. It was a good one. And down at Park Gate, and we talked about gifts of the Holy Spirit and the sharing of those gifts in our meeting together. And it's a really good time, very edifying discussions and sharing together around the Word. And this morning we've heard God speak to us through prophecy, tongues, through prayers and hymns. And I just want to say to you, as I go through some scriptures, I hope you'll hear echoes of what the Lord has already said. Yeah? What the Lord has already said. And it will confirm his word in your heart, because what I'm sharing, obviously the words that have come in the meeting this morning, no one knew what I was going to share about. Okay, so praise God. Hallelujah. And I have a few slides to go with what I'm going to say. And the Lord said, through Paul, he said, through much tribulation, it's through much tribulation, trouble, it's through a lot of trouble that we enter into the kingdom of God. And when we think about the days in which we're living, we know that there are endless troubles around us. The sea of troubles, as Shakespeare put it. But the wonderful thing is that when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we know that we have someone with us in our troubles, who's with us every single moment of the day and night, 24/7. He never sleeps. He never ceases to take care of us, to watch over us, and to regard our lives as so precious to him. Indeed, he calls us the apple of his eye. When you're the apple of your eye, you know, is that most sensitive part of your body. That if it gets touched, you immediately react. Well, the Lord says, we are the apple of his eye. Soon the things that touch us touch him. And in all our affliction, he is afflicted. So, what I'd like to... could we have the first one, please, Mark? Thank you, just the title, yeah. What I want to speak about this morning is the Father's heart. And particularly the Father's heart of compassion. In Lamentations, there's a song, and we often sing it. I'll just read the verses to you. You don't need to turn there. We'll go to Jeremiah in a minute. But Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, probably Jeremiah says this: through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. If you read the rest of Lamentations, it's a dirge. It's a song of sorrow. It's a song of distress. It's the outpouring of the soul of somebody who has seen his people go through terror, go through awful destruction, go into exile, go and suffer all kinds of things because they would not listen to what God was saying to them. And this is the nadir, this is the low point, the lowest point of their national life. And right in the midst of it, the prophet cries out, great is your faithfulness. Your compassions, they fail not. So, if you want to turn with me, come to Jeremiah 31. Please, Jeremiah 31, we'll read the first few verses and get a gist of what he's saying to us here. When we think about the Father heart of God, we've all had a father. We all still have a father. An earthly father, I mean. And some of us have had good fathers. Some of us, our fathers may have been remote. Some of us, our fathers may not even have been around. But what we need to hear from God today is that God wants to be a father to us in a way that we have never experienced in our life before. He is totally other in that sense from every father we have known. If you've had a good father, then bless God for a good father. I'm a poor father, but I know that it's a blessing to know that God is my father and that he will help me in my fatherhood of my the family that God graciously gave to me. And if you're facing that, well, God will graciously help you too. Hallelujah. God's heart of love is a love that will never end, that will never fail, that will never forsake us. This is a wonderful thing about the love of God. And here in Jeremiah, we have the prophet speaking, saying this. At the same time, well, this is when the whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth to cause some things to happen. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my peoples. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yea, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. Do you hear the echoes of the words the Lord has already brought to us there? Hallelujah. Let's take the next one. Please work. Next one, please, Mark. Okay, we'll take that one. All right. Should be there somewhere. Okay. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Where did they survive the sword? In Egypt, of course. When they suffered the terrible oppression of Pharaoh and his forces. But there were those who survived the sword. And God led them out with a great deliverance. 2 million plus people led out of oppression into a wonderful deliverance by God himself in the demonstration of his power when he picked off the gods of Egypt one by one. Sorry, it's a bit dark, but they're going into the wilderness. Okay, believe me. All right, so God picked off the gods of Egypt one by one and he led his people out by a great deliverance, but then he led them into the wilderness. And this is where God says, I will allure her and I will speak tenderly to her. Where? In the wilderness. Where would God take her and speak to her and bring her to himself, his bride? Israel, as he called her, he said, I will bring you into the wilderness, and there I will draw you to myself. With loving kindness I have drawn you. And he said, I've drawn you to myself that I might give you rest. The first thing about the Father's heart of compassion is that he calls us to himself in order that he might bring us into rest. Peace of heart, peace of mind. Peace in the midst of what may be incredibly troubled circumstances. That there at the still center of the turning of the whirling wheel, at the hub of things, we find God is there. And circumstances may be whirling all around us, but if we are in the middle with God, if we have make him our priority, if we seek him first, put him first in our lives, we will find that in the middle of all those sea of troubles, there is a rock that cannot be moved and our feet are established on that rock. And the sea and all its billows and its waves will never wash us off. Glory to his wonderful name. This is the promise of God to you and me, beloved. It's what he has promised us. And he has promised us rest. I hope you can see this one. Okay. Yeah. Think about that. Ponder. Ponder. When God says rest, who is he? Who is he? He's the Lion of Judah. Yes. But he's the God who created all the mighty creatures we see on earth. All those who have incredible strength. You know, this particular creature, what, 7 foot high when it stands up, and it can run about 30 miles an hour, and it can eat people. You know, it's but God is not into that. Hallelujah. Rest is you and me clinging to him. Hallelujah. Our beloved, and resting in him because we need his strength from day to day. If you feel weak, you may be feeling weak today because of some illness you have. You may be feeling weak because of feebleness, of maturity of years. You may be feeling weak for other reasons. Well, God says, come to me and rest. Cling to me. You're my child. I invite you to come. Stay with me. Stick with me. God is a lover of people. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. We'll read the first few verses. Hosea is a prophet who calls the nation back from spiritual adultery to their first love, which is God. And they'd strayed a long way from him. And the story of Hosea is of a calling back and a going back and a bringing back and going away again and bringing back and going away again. And all the time God is pleading with Israel, who had strayed in adulterous spiritual relationship from him. And therefore all the kinds of problems that come from that were flowing out into society. They sell the poor for a pair of sandals, said Amos. And worldwide we see where there is idolatry, which Israel had gone into, any country where there is idolatry, you find oppression and you find great uncleanness. And God called his people out of that, out into separation from the world around us, around them, and we too from the world around us. Separation, separated to who? To the crucified. Called to separation to the crucified one. Jesus separated himself to the point where he was lifted up from the earth and nailed to a tree, that he might deliver you and me so that we might live a separated life too, like his. Glory to his wonderful name, when he hadn't done a thing wrong. Never had an unclean thought, never said a wrong word. Never had a harsh feeling for someone, never been unjust. They nailed him to the tree. Hosea 11, this is God speaking, and when we look into the prophets, we need to remember, there's another word that's come this morning, remember. We need to remember that the Old Testament is the shadow of Jesus falling across the centuries and across the millennia. It's falling across the millennia, the shadow of Jesus from day one, when all things were created through him and by him and for him. In day one, at the beginning, the shadow of Jesus falls from Genesis through to Malachi, of the coming of the one who will redeem the world from their sin. Hallelujah. And here we are, Hosea prophesying around about 650, 700 before the Lord was born, BC, and prophesying that the Lord Jesus would become a refugee. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals. They were gods, unclean gods, and burned incense to carved images. And then this is God speaking in his tenderness. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Oh, beautiful words, aren't they? Here's a picture of a loving father or a mother. God's heart is a father and a mother heart. Let's never forget that. when he created man in his image, it was male and female that he created. Glory to his wonderful name, Genesis 1, 26, 27. God's heart is a mother heart and a father heart, and here we are picking up the child, the newborn child. And then when the child is toddling, almost toddling, taking them by the hands and helping them to walk, and then dandling on the knee, playing with them on the lap, speaking words, looking into their eyes. We all do this, don't we, when there's a little child around? It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing to do that. And God did that with you when you were born by the Holy Spirit into his eternal kingdom. And he still does it today. Glory to his wonderful name. Glory to his wonderful name. God is not only love. He loves. God loves. God is a lover of men and women. We experience the Father's love like sunlight in a glade. You go walk down the dale any time when the sun is coming through the trees like that. This is now Dale, this is somewhere else, but anyway, this is how we experience God. The sunbeams come through the trees and they flood the glade with beautiful dappled light. But trace the sunbeam to its source. How does God love us? What's the source of the sunbeams? What's the source of the sunbeams? It's not an orange. It's the sun. Yeah, right. I wanted to find a picture that was on the news recently. I couldn't find it. Sorry about that. But there's a picture of the sun somewhere on BBC website. And it's full of little hexagons. Well, they kind of look like hexagons. I don't know if you saw that picture. And each hexagon is billions of these hexagons, and each hexagon is as big as Texas. How big is Texas, Chan? Can you fit the UK seven times over into Texas? Something like that? Okay, so our little country would fit seven times over into one hexagon that is a millionth of the sun's surface. What does that tell you about God? Hallelujah! Glory to God! His love is an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will never forsake you. I'll never let you go. I'll never betray my promise to you. Hallelujah. I've called you to myself. Glory to God. This is the God we worship. He has drawn us to himself. He is love. He is burning love. Our God is a consuming fire. As the writer to the Hebrews said, and Isaiah said, who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? Well, the everlasting burnings appeared on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's go quickly to the New Testament and we'll look in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Remember, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. God is unknowable in his essence, but Jesus revealed him to us in flesh and blood in his own person. And here he is. The shadow of the Old Testament was the shadow of Jesus. The New Testament is the reality. He has come. The reality is here. God has come to save his people. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. No other name. There is no other name. Why? Because Jesus is the only man who's ever walked the earth who never had sin. Every other human being born on the earth is born into sin. Why? Because we inherited a heredity of sin from our forefathers, the first couple who God created and married, and their names are given as Adam, which means red, or the man, and Eve, which means mother. And we receive, because we are born from them, by generation upon generation upon generation upon generation, we receive their heredity spiritually when we are born into this world. It doesn't matter what country we're born in, what race we're born in, what language we're born in. We all receive that same heredity. And except Jesus Christ, he never had that heredity because he was not born of Adam. He was born from God. Had a human mother, but God was his father. He never had that heredity of sin. and he walked a sinless life the whole of his 30 years on earth, and then gave himself, glory to his wonderful name, he gave himself an offering for your sin and for mine. Pure offering, purely given to God on Calvary's tree. And because of that, you and I can come to God and give him our sin and receive in exchange the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Praise God. When God called Israel into the wilderness, he gave promises. He said that he would cause the wilderness to blossom as the rose. He would cause, instead of the thorn tree, there would come up the fir tree. Instead of the thistle, there would come up the myrtle tree. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says Sharon is a wilderness. Some people have the name Sharon. God says he will turn your wilderness into a place filled with pools of water. And instead of the thorn and the thistle, will come up beautiful trees, things that are good, beautiful flowers, fruitfulness out of your life where you thought there could never be fruitfulness again. And the Lord came. Hallelujah. Let's look in John chapter 6. And he's having an earnest discussion with some people who were opposing what he was saying, because his words were very strong words. They were very strong words, and a lot of people, after he'd said these words, walked away from him. Jesus said to the disciples, "Will you also go away?" That's in verse 67 of chapter 6. But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Only Jesus has words that can give us life. He is the living word from the Father. And when he speaks a word into our hearts, it begets us unto eternal life. So, Jesus is saying here, no one can come to the... Let's break in at verse 38 to get the context. Okay, John 6, 38. The Lord is speaking, "For I have come down from heaven..." That's what they argued with. "Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing." And if you love the Lord today, you are among that all given to Jesus by the Father, but should raise it up at the last day. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Glory to God. God, hallelujah. The Father sent the Son into the world. The Son came willingly of his own volition to lay down his life in a horrible death, a cruel death, a torturous death. But he came willingly to do that because the Father sent him into the world. This is the Father's love for you and me, beloved. Hallelujah. An everlasting love. Love that will never change. Oh, glory to God. That love can change the hearts of men and women anywhere. I remember being in a refugee camp many years ago, and there were 3 80-year-old grannies who had come out of Cambodia alive, and they had all given their hearts to Jesus Christ in that refugee camp. 81 years of age. They believed in another God for 5 years of their life, and then they hear of Jesus. When they hear of Jesus, they want that name. Hallelujah. They want that name. They believe in that name. They believe there's salvation in that name. Do you believe there's salvation in that name today, beloved? Because if you don't, Jesus is for you. He's come for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he wants you to come to him. And Jesus said in verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day." We read about Israel in the wilderness, that the Lord led them there so that he might draw them to himself. He brought them out by his power, but he sustained them with his love. If you think of the sustaining grace of God for his people in the wilderness, how did God sustain his people? Any offers? Sorry, manna, yes. What else? Quails, yes. What else? Water, yes. What else? light by day, cloud by day, yeah, from the heat, fire by night to give them light. Yeah, something else? Shoes? Did I hear shoes? Shoes that never wore it and didn't wear out. And the clothing as well. Supernaturally sustained by the power of God because of his love for them. 2 million people. Yes. Just like that. Wonderful God. Hallelujah. And his grace is the same today. And he did that to draw them to himself. He wanted them to see that he could care for them in a completely barren, fruitless place where there was nothing to eat and no water to drink. And he demonstrated his love by giving them all the basic necessities of life and far more besides. He gave them the comfort of his presence, hovering over the tabernacle that was in the midst of them. Hallelujah. And the same thing is for you, beloved, today and every day of your life while we're here on earth. The sustaining power and grace of God, the love of God to keep us, to feed us. Even when you might be thousands of miles away and nobody knows where you are, God will still put food on your table. Hallelujah. Your children will still have food to eat because God is a faithful God and his compassions, they fail not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His compassions fail not. This is God. Do you feel your heart being drawn to the Father this morning? Do you feel him drawing you with the cords of love in you, in your life, in your circumstances, your situation? Jesus. God the Father is drawing your heart to Jesus so that Jesus may present you to the Father and that you may know the Father's love in your heart as a real experience, just as much as we feel the warmth of the sun sometimes in England and as when we walk in the forest, okay, on a burning August day, you might feel the warmth of the sun and see the light coming through. Hallelujah. You can feel it. You can feel that warmth. And God wants you and me, beloved, to feel the warmth of his love this morning. And therefore the Holy Spirit has come to shed his love abroad in our hearts that we might feel the love of God in our own hearts too. I just want to look at one or two people who were drawn to Jesus. Turn back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Here was a man. His name was Nicodemus, and John chapter 3, yes, thank you. John chapter 3, here was a man called Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night, because he was afraid to come by day, I guess. He was a top teacher among the Pharisees. In fact, he was the teacher, so he probably didn't want his students to see who he was going to visit, this rabbi from upcountry who had never been to Bible school. And anyway, he came to see Jesus, and he says, Lord, Rabbi, he gives him the title, respectful title, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. There was a recognition there by Nicodemus in the hiddenness of the night that Jesus had come from God. And Jesus says to him, well, if you want to be where I am, you have to be regenerated into my kingdom. He didn't actually say those words. He says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But that's the essence of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Yeah, you're recognizing me as a great teacher. I'm telling you, you need my life in you. And you can't get it unless you ask me for it. Unless you open your heart to me and say, please, give me your life, Lord Jesus. I'm coming to you. Please give me your life. And Nicodemus had some other questions. And he said, how can that happen? How can I be born again? Can it, you know, and he was thinking in the physical realm. And of course, Jesus doesn't speak to us in of that realm. Our physical realm is important to him. He made our bodies. He gives us bodies that have 10,000 processes going on at one time, and we're not conscious of most of them. Anyway, this is the wonder of his power in us. But what God wants to do is to regenerate our spirits into eternal life. And Jesus said to him, it's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel its effects. Don't know if there's much wind today. You can maybe see, you can't see the wind when the trees move, but boy, the last few weeks, have we seen the trees move? Yeah? We got a pergola frame at the back, in our back garden, and it's been going kind of 45 degrees to the vertical most times. But anyway, it is still standing, and it is now vertical. Yeah, anyway, that's another story. Glory to God. You can't see the wind, but you can feel the effects. Have you felt the effects of God's holy breath, His wind blowing in your life today? In this last week? Have you come to Him when you were in at your wit's end about something, about the children, about your finances, about what to do next week, what to do about this virus that's going around? Have you come to Him and say, Lord, please show me what to do? And God, in His very gracious and loving and very kind way, will show you exactly what to do. Because that's the kind of God He is. Glory to His name. So Nicodemus comes and Jesus says, you've got to be regenerated into my life. I will do that for you. You can't do it of yourself. It's impossible for man to regenerate himself because man is bound by the heredity of sin that we all received. Until Jesus comes and looses us from that heredity, regenerates us by the Holy Spirit and gives us a new heredity in Himself. Hallelujah. Glory to His wonderful name. So here was Nicodemus, and later we find Nicodemus was one of the brave two men who went and asked if they could take the body of Jesus away from the cross. John 12:32. Jesus uses this word draw again that is used in that we saw in chapter 6, the same word in the Greek, John chapter 12 and verse 32. The Lord, let's take verse 31 for the context. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. That's the devil. Cast out from the kingdom of men, from men's lives, from men, from our families, from our communities, from the way of the world as it is. The ruler of this world be cast out, and God's kingdom will come in that revolutionizes life, transforms us from one kind of life to another by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all to myself. My Bible puts in peoples, which is a great word. All the tribes, all the tongues, all the nations. Jesus did this, he said, signifying by what death he would die. And then those who were listening said to him, we've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. Yeah, Moses has said, God will send another prophet like me. You must listen to him in everything he says to you. That's Acts 3:22. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And then the Lord talks about the light that they have in front of them. Sadly, there were those who refused the light. This is the thing we must not do. Beloved, whenever we receive light from God, we must act on that light and do what he says. And then more light will come. That's the way God works with us. Every step of obedience we take results in more light coming into our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. So, I'll say one thing that Dave's dad often says. What was the last thing God said to you? What was the last thing that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, whispered in your heart that he wanted you to do? Was it to let go of things in your life, maybe traditions of a lifetime, 70 years of doing things a certain way, and now God says, come this way, let me regenerate you into my life? Or is it letting go in some way of things that have been dear to you, and God saying, I want you to put that away from you now, because I have more to give to you, but I can't give you more until you put away that thing from your life? Yeah, these are the words that came to us, aren't they? And God, by his gracious Spirit, wants us to ponder them. Jesus said, I will draw all men unto myself when I'm lifted up on the cross. on the cross of Calvary. 2 Corinthians 5. Interpretation of the cross is in all the letters that we have in the New Testament. This great chapter of 2 Corinthians particularly talks about the transformed life, the new life, the completely new life we receive from Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, by regeneration of the Holy Spirit happening in their lives, he is, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Completely new inside, on the inside where people can't see, but you know because God has come to you. And he has begun that work of regeneration in your life, which will go on and on from day to day, all down the years of your life until Jesus comes again. Glory to his wonderful name. Why? Because God, verse 19, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Father was in Christ reconciling you and me to himself when Jesus the Son was dying on the cross of Calvary. The Father's love was there because it was the only way for you and me to come into him and experience that love. Glory to his name. I know for many of us these are things we've heard many times before, but I think God just wants us to wonder and stand in awe. Stand in awe of what he has done in the days in which we live. Because this is the truth of God that men and women need to know, need to hear. Outside these walls, in the communities in which we live. Glory to God. Because God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God has put in us that word of reconciliation. It's there within us. We just have to let it out when the opportunity comes. And we can pray for those opportunities to come to us in the communities where we live. People we rub shoulders with, our colleagues at work and so on. Even if things have been like a wall for years, we can pray and God, because God can destroy walls in a moment. Glory to his name. And then after the cross came, after Golgotha came the garden. After Golgotha came the garden. And Jesus has the opportunity to draw all men and women unto himself by the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority that is given to him in his place exalted at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord said this morning, in words of prophecy, seek him. He will fill your waste places. Come away. Turn your gaze on Jesus. Let God draw you to Jesus. God said through prophecy, I have drawn you and cleansed you. I have brought you to myself. This is what he did with Israel in the wilderness. Come, God said to us, and you will know that you are free. Hallelujah. Come to the place of Anastasis. Anastasis, resurrection. Come to the place where Jesus is right now. And he says, come to me and I will raise you up on the last day. Fear not. Our God, his compassions fail not. And great is his faithfulness. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.